All right. Welcome to the show. Today's my guest is Frank McCaughey, and he's an author, a filmmaker, a non-duality speaker, an all-around wonderful person.
Yeah.
I've been into this, what you might call uncompromising non-duality, for the last couple of years. And I first learned about Frank through the film he did, Zero and One, which he did a few years back. That was great because it was a collection of interviews you did with Tony Parsons, Jim Newman, Andreas Muller, and Kenneth Madden. And that was a wonderful film. Watched it a few times. And then recently I started watching your YouTubes with your Zoom meetings, and took a deep dive into your YouTube channel, went back to the podcast you were doing with Can I Be Frank, your interviews there, watched your film, the psychedelic film you did. That was cool. So yeah, I've just really enjoyed your content.
Oh yeah. Cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's funny hearing it said like that. It's sort of, I wouldn't have planned to get interested in a subject like non-duality. And it's just funny when you said, you know, you've been into this uncompromising message. I almost want to say, so you've been bitten. It's because it's more like that. It's more like that, really.
It is. Know,
And it's sort of whatever about it, it can be, it's sort of maybe, I think it's energetically, you're sucked in somehow, let's just say there's some hook in, and I don't know what that is exactly, obviously, but, and then it seems like you just can't let go. I've said recently, it can't be let go of, and I think it is a bit like that. Everything else you can get a little bit bored with, or, you know, you can whatever. But this, it seems, for the unfortunate few, it can't be let go of. And it was sort of like that. Because I suppose when I did that movie, really, I had just a kind of I can't even describe it. It's a fucking story. But I obviously just got drawn to do it, and I was pretty clear on who I felt was clear, let's just say. I had the sense of that, but I had no idea what I was doing with it. And I obviously traveled across Europe, and then the first edit I did, I excluded myself from it, and then the second edit, encouraged by Boris, a friend of mine, who's done a couple of films in this area, I think, but he said it's kind of interesting to have the questionnaire in it. And so I did it like that, but I put it out there, didn't tell a friend, I didn't tell anybody or share it anywhere or do anything with it. I just thought, right, well, I better do something with fucking this. And I was actually going to call it, and I had said this to Tony at the time, I was going to call it The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. I liked the whatever of that, just the, you know, it's a fanciful name, let's just say. And but at the same time, Zero and One seemed to be the name that was kind of, and that's how I started some of the interviews, and that's what I called it. And that, you know, that's what happened, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's interesting. A lot of people like that film. It's just,
In a way, the message is the end of your world. So the apocalypse is an appropriate title.
I suppose it is like that. I think really it is the end of everything.
Yeah, I got the impression from that film that at one point you were a worn out seeker, lots of frustration and wanting to get this and but correct me if I'm wrong, obviously.
Well, there's no doubt about it. It's all on film. So, you know, it's not like you could say it's all on film. And I think also there was seeking, but then time-wise, it just seemed to take up a huge amount of time. And it was cost, and I just couldn't, you know, I mean, it's obvious in a way, I couldn't help myself, but it's so like, I would have much preferred some sort of a magical mystery guru, blah, 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 who would loads of magic dust and all that, you know, I really would have something, some magnificent, whatever, but this was just, it's just how it appeared to happen. And in a sense, I couldn't stand the bullshit. And in a sense, the seeking part was, I always felt they were talking about something, and I couldn't understand that part. I couldn't understand how anybody would, how people knew how to know. I couldn't, so I sort of felt that they knew something or had discovered something or had found something. And that was always what I sort of grappled with, in spite of the fact I thought it was nearly trickery to say, yeah, well, no one finds out. It's a trickery of words. And there was a huge grappling with that, and always I felt like something, I'm missing something here, I'm just missing something. And I went, you could say it went on and on, all that sort of grappling and trying to get, and but all the while, if for a moment I got the impression that somebody was trying to tell me something, like when it was really clear, you know, that's when I just totally switched off. I totally went, no, that's not what I'm talking about then. Because what I'm talking about, but I didn't have the words, let's just say, is I'm talking about simply talking. I'm talking about the fact that seeking is appearing to happen, that I don't know how to do that or not do that. That's what was. And that, in actual fact, the idea of knowing at all was the, or one who knows was the sort of misnomer in the whole piece. And it was really, I suppose you could say, I felt that I could get this. And then when that's the case, it can only be imagined that when someone is talking, they are someone who knows. And I think that just went on and on and on and on till it stopped, I suppose. It just, but it was always sort of, you know, I mean, it was always sort of, I think since my 20s, since sort of just suddenly being, and it's only in recent years that I would say this as well, that it was the sudden shock of being alive, the sort of hinges being blown off the door and just walking down the street, and let's say aliveness blew my brains, sort of. And it felt very uncomfortable, and suddenly normal conversations, interactions, just seemed way different, seemed, I just couldn't even make sense of anything. And I used to try and talk to a few people about it, but they used to just say, well, it was existential or whatever. And, but yeah, a bit of a story there, but it, you know, it's just funny. How it appears to go. It's totally not, just not really as a businessman, really. So this was niche of niche, you know what I mean? There was no opportunity in this for a man like me. And yet it just seemed to, there was no caring about it, no caring about putting it out there, no really caring about, you know, having those conversations, because I felt nobody was interested really. And I felt, and even the podcast, not one friend I knew was interested. Nobody really outside of this was interested at all. Conversation would end in 5 minutes and they just tell me to shut up. And, and yet it still went on. It's still in, you know, I was literally getting nothing from it. All the kind of typical things that you might get, like, you know, oh, that's great, or oh, you do, that's really enjoyable, I love that. Nothing. I was just sort of this. And then slowly but surely, I think people just started to be interested in it and be interested in this, that sort of style. Some people then used to say, well, you're asking the questions that I want to ask. And then that was sort of, it wasn't that that propelled it, because I always felt I could stop talking. I could stop these podcasts in a heartbeat. I had no investment in them whatsoever. And no investment in the movie, no investment in anything, and still no investment at all in them. None. Well, obviously, not even a trickle. I don't even look upon them as mine. I just kind of go, well, that's what appeared to happen. But anyway, here you go.
Yeah, now. When did the... did that whole story kind of come to an end? I know there was at some point in time what you might call a shift from feeling like a Frank in a world to that no longer feeling like the case.
See, in truth, really, I don't know what I sort of get the question, but I think for years I sort of kind of went along with that story of there being somebody and the shift and that suddenly falling away. But it seems like now really that's not the case. And this idea of I can say that seeking appeared to stop. That's absolutely the case. I can say that seeking stopped. Just, and it was sort of like just nothing, absolutely nothing. I wrote down something at the time, but it was a total non-event. Like, it was, in actual fact, it was kind of like, well, what's the reaction to this? And that was the reaction that appeared. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, it's kind of like, I was always like, well, and then maybe I started laughing and then I stopped laughing and then I started laughing. I was driving the car and it was, but like, it's like, it's this now, what's the reaction to immediately this? Well, saying well is the reaction. And because it's fully alive and fresh, inescapably, immediately, this. And it, I don't know, some days I kind of just, I could sort of roar that it's this, you know, it's just, it's this is the mystery. But it seems like for most, this is not a mystery. It's not. They know what it is. This simple talking, this simple having a conversation. They know what it is. I don't know. And I don't know how I don't know. And so I'm the most useless voice box for any human being. But I suppose at the core of that is this innocence, this childlike innocence that's, you know, it's nothing, it doesn't even know what innocence is really. So, but this idea of feeling like a person, I don't know, it was always like there was, the identity was never set, really. It was never fully set, I don't think. You know, maybe ambitious, maybe wanting to, but at the core of all the ambition and all the work throughout the years and business, whatever, that was sort of had freedom at the core of it, if you know what I mean. Sort of had not wanting to have to play a part of the games, the roles, and but yet feeling that, well, you sort of had to in, you know, in normal society. I didn't want to go live in a cave or so you see, it's one of the most fascinating things it seems like you can ever hear is that there is no you. I think for some it's the most fascinating thing you can ever hear.
Yeah.
It's sort of the most outrageous sentence nowadays, let's say, that can be heard. And for most, there's not even a blink of an eye. But for some, there's no doubt that that is an overwhelmingly, it's a juggernaut of a sentence. If it's, you know, energetically, sorry, it can be a juggernaut of a sentence. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is that there is no self to know there's no self. But it's that instant boom that sort of maybe bangs that which is fully living as knowing in the head. And it's just boom. And like I read it on Amazon under Leo Hortong's book. And it was like the bell rang. It was like fucking hell. It was like I found his book. And it was like, I was reading, I was going, whoa, what the fuck? And I kept really looking at that sentence. I was going, what the fuck is he? What? Well, it was the one sentence, and it is the one sentence that you can't know. Do you know what I mean? It's right. So it is outrageously, It is an amazing sort of sentence because it's a total unraveler, really, mm-hmm. for the mind. And yet the seeking sort of wants to know that, and that kind of unfolds. But it is a striking sentence, isn't it? It's, in the normal run of things, like in the normal day to day, especially within seeking. Mm-hmm. There's no one that can get enlightenment. You fuck. And yeah, it feels like within that sentence, the whole, that's it, like, you mm-hmm. know. Especially for seeking, that sentence is, you know. People, if I had heard that now years ago, I would have kept listening to, what am I missing by what he's saying there, right. You know, and nothing is the problem. Nothing.
Yeah. It's funny because I was on a spiritual path in my story for quite a while and then hit a little roadblock, walked away from the community I'd been with for several years. And at that point in time, this message came along and landed, and it wasn't long. I took a deep dive and was bitten, and then the seeking stopped. There was a lot of beliefs fell away. The sense of being a doer kind of fell away. But also when I had a glimpse of there not being separation, I realized, oh, this isn't what I wanted. I wanted a better experience for me. I didn't want the end of me. But by that point, I'd already been bitten. So the listening to the message just continued, but there was no longer anyone trying to get anything out of it. It was just more or less like listening to music seemed to just bring a smile to my face to hear this. There's no you, there's no, I don't know why. I know a lot of people don't get that same sort of response to the message, but yeah, for me, it was like music in a way. And I think there was a lot of gratitude that came from that seeking ending, because I didn't realize how much energy was being expended in seeking until it stopped. And then all of a sudden it seemed like, wow, I've got all this freed up energy to do stuff with, and started a couple of new businesses, and just, I don't know, effortless doing seemed to continue to happen without that sense of trying to get anything from anything. So, but of course I don't know if I'm done, not done. I realize there's not somebody that's going to get done in the end. So all those things I'd hoped for on the spiritual path were just kind of, they fell by the wayside in the recognition that there's just no one who gets it in the end.
Well, there is no one. And there'd have to be an authority to say, you know, oh, you're done or not done. There just simply is what's appearing to happen, really, isn't it? Really, that's everything else, just a little story, a little adventure down the rabbit hole, you know, and that's it. Like, there's rabbit holes in every inch. And, but it's funny when you mentioned the community, I sort of never bought into, for whatever reason, even when there used to be meetings for, and there used to be these gatherings where people would get together and they start talking about what they knew about non-duality, and that fucking did my nut in. Because I wasn't in the, I knew whatever this was, it couldn't be about agreeing and everybody, and that was the inclination, was to share your, well, this is what I've done so far, and I think I'm much closer than you now, so you get in line here. You know what I mean? That sort of, and even in this non, we call it non-dual sort of lark, it's a bit like that. It's, oh, look, you know, I'm nearly there now, because I really get this. And it would be very heavy if it could be gotten, and very light and actually nothing. So, yeah, it just, that's the way it was. Like, I never really, I didn't need, but I know a lot of people in the spiritual kind of thing had would have a community and then find it quite hard to, that's sort of part of the identity. But it's like, it's the same though with this, except it's the same, except really when it's, you're being bitten. I think actually it's sort of like the head in the tiger's lion's mouth, whatever. There's no better way. You know, it's somehow these expressions sort of make sense, because it is a bit like that. You would let go of it if you could let go of it, because it's nothing. And it's like you say, within all the meetings, like if it was just about a few sentences of there's no you, even though I spent a bit of time talking about it, if it was just about that, again, that would be, ah, yeah, sure, I get all that. I know there's no one now, I'm going to move on and to go sitting in a cave. You know, I get that. So it does wonderfully expose the total lack of control about everything, in the sense, because nothing really is on offer for a person. I'm seeing my neighbor there running around after a dog, sorry. It's just, it is beautiful in that sense, that it really, really does expose all that fucking bullshit. Because, you know, you can start saying what you think, you know, what's going on, and you really fall asunder for pretty quickly if it's about knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And also the freshness when that is just talking, that is just as talking, as opposed to something being relayed, that's why you could say having meetings or whatever just didn't require anything.
Mm.
And again, it's sort of like the last thing I'd want to do, really. And yet, really, it is. Now, when they appear to happen, there's no doubt about it, I do love them. But it's like, why would I, if I was deciding what to do, why would I sit down and do that, like, you know? Do you know, why would I sit and have no concept of what's going to come out of my mouth, no concept at all, no concept of what's going to be asked, no concept of what the response is going to be, no concept of who's going to turn up, blah, 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 blah. If you know, it's lovely. It's outrageously, wonderfully free then. And it's just then, without all that bollocks I've just spoken, just what appears to happen. And it's alive as that then, alive as suddenly talking about talking, really.
Yeah. It is beautiful. I don't know why. Who knows, but...
Well, do you know what? It's fucking wild and free. And that's why it's totally wild. It's anarchic. It does not give a flying fuck about or there. And it doesn't give... it's just totally and utterly impersonal.
Mm.
It's total, unconditional, boundless love. And they're dangerous words because that makes it... But boundless love all is utterly... ruthless.
Mm.
And yet every word is heard and it just falls to nothing, because like it's like falls into a sort of vacuum of this is just of nothingness, and then a response appears, and the response is, right, well, that's what's happening then. That's what's happening, baby. And that actually is total love, like, and that could be, I want to blow my fucking brains out. Okay, well, that's what's happening. That is actually fully alive what's happening. And it totally let go of, it could be said then, well, if that's what's going to happen, that's what's going to happen. But obviously, we live in a world where we all could be sued and whatever. So you say, well, this is not an antidote for being alive. And if feeling a certain way is what's happening, then equally seeking help would be absolutely advisable. And that would also be what's appearing to happen. But it's edge of the edgelessness. It's fully like this sitting and talking, and it's not fluffy. It's not a state. It's not once removed over there where everybody's nice and safe and we can pontificate about there's just what's appearing to happen. Right? You know, that's fine. I'm over here. I'm safe. And there's over there what's appearing to happen. No. That's not, it's alive, rip-roaringly alive as just simply whatever is said. And it's totally irresponsible, because as being responsible, you wouldn't even dream of saying certain things. You just wouldn't, it wouldn't be what a responsible human being would do, let's just say. But equally, you see, with all those words, like if there's suffering is appearing to happen, it's also sort of, fully what is, and it's so fully fucking heard also. Do you know what I mean? It's not like then somebody is in a total state of, you know, coldness. It's not like that. It's just that sort of, there's nothing to be validated or nothing to be confirmed. And that's the safety. Really what everyone is looking for really is mammy and daddy to tuck them in at night, and an authority to come in and anoint and make everything okay. They really, really, really don't want this at all. But you can do nothing about wanting or not wanting it. That's the story. But really, what they really want is you to say, okay, here's what you need to do now, and let's tuck you in and keep you safe. But there is no mother or father, no upper or lower, no king and queen, and no authority on anything. So then it's sort of the meetings appear to be impersonal. Do you know what I mean? Like appear like impersonal, but also there's such an which is not a doing, an allowance of everything, you know, every scenario. But at the same time, the response is also within that. So the response is as much a mystery as the question. It's the same.
Mm.
So it's...
Mm.
And that's not the normal run of things.
Yeah. And you wrote a book. The title is Unknowing. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Do you happen to have a copy of that around?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yes, I do.
I'd love for you to read something from it, because I've heard you read some of the passages on your YouTube channel, and it sounds lovely.
Okay. Well, in actual fact, I think I said something like this a few minutes ago, so let's go with this then. I try and get a really deep voice. You do something in sound effects to make it look sound
right. <Echo. laughs>
Yeah. This chapter is called Innocence. This is an innocence that is beyond any image of what innocence should or could be. It is an unknowing that doesn't know what unknowing or innocence is. Something is called a piece of dirt. It is also unfathomable. Not knowing it's a stupid piece of dirt is the mystery and innocence. It is named a piece of dirt, and yet the wonderment is really as the unknowability of everything. Dig a hole in the ground and the universe opens up. A boundless, infinite wonder, a soil of death and life, a gazillion deaths in a piece of dirt from which a gazillion other wonders could sprout. A universe of stories, bones and blood, roots and rot, worms and insects, and on, a miracle or a piece of dirt or nothing. If I am a thing apart, then there are other things. I am me, that is a piece of dirt, and I am above the piece of dirt. I am real, piece of dirt is real, and in the hierarchy, I am above that. I don't know about dirt and selves. I don't see other selves. But if you say you feel like a self, then that is what is being felt and described. And that if you know it to be a piece of dirt, so be it. This unknowing does not have a start or end. Each thought, each feeling, and that piece of dirt, unknowable, utterly. Oh, you'd eat the dirt then, Frank? No, don't think so. Unless I was starving, maybe I might give it a go. I don't know. But when it comes to seeking, people will swallow anything except for nothing. But nothing might just swallow you if you were, if ever you were, my love. The body and the universe don't need your help. Thoughts don't need your help to think, nor do feelings. Nor does your hair or nails or bones or the trees or blood or clouds or grass or whatever else. You are not needed, my love. Just happening. And yet the wonder is those thoughts, that longing, those feelings, those character traits, those desires, wants, needs, everything. So I'm afraid I can't help you with you. I'm afraid there isn't a you to help, though you might insist that there is, and that is how it is. Luckily, there are loads of people in the world who know about helping apparent individuals. Not here in this book, though. I don't know what a piece of dirt is. Bam, bam, bam. There yeah. You go now. I enjoy actually reading it sometimes, and I pick it up like that. I go, all right.
Yeah.
Mm.
I love it.
Mm. There you
and,
go.
And in your meetings, there's so... This is just a story too, but it seems like out of all the speakers, you're like the... less compromising of the bunch, so there's just absolutely nothing for that seeking energy to grab a hold of. It's just mm-hmm. constant remind pointing to there's just no one in there doing that. Or I just really enjoy that.
Yeah, it's funny. It's evidently not a doing. It's not like I go, well, I'm going to be really uncompromising.
Right.
No, it doesn't. I'm going to set out to be uncompromised, but it would seem like that the words that are used are far less flamboyant. Now, they're a little bit more flamboyant in the book, but it seems like I don't really use the word love, and like, you know, that often. Sometimes it appears to be used. So you see, words like liberation and the dropping away of self, they are beautifully seductive words. And you could say that's like, you know, you see a bit of cake, and as you put your head in to try and eat the cake, you realize there isn't any cake there, and you're inside the lion's mouth. That's sort of kind of like what it's like. And maybe, you know, who knows whether it could change, but it seems like I'm sort of, there's a frankness about how I talk. And I really, there's a sort of a total paradox with even talking, because I sort of, I know that no matter what's said, a sort of an imagination will be put upon me, let's say, and an imagination that I have something. Now, I really can't bear that. I just really, I can't bear the idea that anything to do with words coming out of my mouth would sort of prolong that sort of seeking lark. And yet sometimes just the more flamboyant words come out, definitely in writing or in the blog on my website. I notice more sort of romance and the mingling of that in there would come into the language. And that's probably just sort of the enjoyment of writing. And I'd probably be a romantic, really, character-wise, you know, but it doesn't seem to come out like that at all, though. You know what I mean? It comes out, and sometimes I go, God, I wish that it would be, you know, I'd use the words like liberation or whatever, but it's just, this just don't appear to be used. And, you know, I had a meeting, I had set up a meeting for one Saturday afternoon at maybe whatever it was, 3 o'clock. And I turned on the computer and literally there was nobody there. And I sat at the computer for a little while and went, okay, well, that's out, you know. And then now it was a paid for meeting, but some other times I could get 40, but it's not going to, I can't see it being, you know, people attending my meetings. And I just can't see that being the case. I don't know, though, but, you know, I can't see it because it's sort of the language is very how it is. It's not, don't know, it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, but also, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it can be any other way, really. It's just how it appears to come out of my trapdoor. You know, it makes it seem like it's something. It's just the way I appear to talk. And I'm kind of reductive as well in language. So even though I'm going around, I'm blah, 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 and here, blah, 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 blah. I can be reductive or whatever. But that's, again, that just seems to be part of how I talk, maybe.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I don't know. It seems to just cut to the chase and eliminate. For me, questions kind of fell away a while back, but for some reason, the resonance just keeps me coming back to the message, and the less the better in a way. And it seems like you can only hear there's no you so many times before it gets boring, but for whatever reason that hasn't happened here. There's still just a, I don't know, an inner smile.
Yeah, it's funny. You can see that at the meetings sometimes, you know, you can just see that it's sort of a brain stupefy, you know, all the kind of stories that sort of want to be told, you know, just for the sake of that, to mm-hmm. announce, look, I'm here. Can't you see me? No. But I can't not see you either. I can't see or not see it. It's just what's appearing to happen. And in that, a story may be told, and then the response is the response. And like, that's just a mystery. And it's, you know, I suppose like when I look back on, say, talking to Kenneth over the years, it was really, that was love, like on an epic scale. I'd be constantly asking, you know, come on, like, and he'd go, all right, sure, that's happening, Frank. And there's no, that is the love, because it's everything is such a spontaneous sort of mystery, and that also includes feeling like it's not. And then this sort of communication, and then the drawnness to this communication is what's appearing.
Mm-hmm.
And even without that, like, oh, this is nothing. It's just. And that's a story. Like, it's just. So, but we are, it seems like we are the story makers and the dreamers of dreams. And I love that too. Like, I think this is the trip. Like, this is the mystery, everything. So. And I, you know, in a way, that's really what at the core is most want to be said, and kind of, you know, it's a mystery, like it's all a mystery. Saying it's a mystery is also a mystery. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and in a way, I realize now that it actually never happened, and that was just a story, which is funny.
Seeking appeared to happen.
Right.
Seeking appears to happen, but there's no one doing it. So then there's no one who's going to stop seeking then.
Yeah.
There's no one, nothing happens. Like, even if it's a flicker of anything, even the subtlest, it's like, you know, it's like a hair's breath, even if it's sort of a subtle something. And that's being pedantic, but it is that a subtle something seems like it can be held on to and then known. And then it's stale and dries up very quickly. And that's why you sort of see these booms of expression coming out, and it's, you know, so blah 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 blah, and it's sort of like it's sensed energetically that sort of stale somehow or other, it gets stale very quickly, even in the apparent. And it's so seductive when you hear someone talking and they seem to be so boundlessly full of this unbelievable joy and knowing and wisdom and blah blah blah, that they are, of course it's wonderful to listen to them, but there's something, it's like sweet opiate nectar almost for that which loves to acquire, but it sort of loses when I'm just describing, it's nothing, and nothing isn't a thing, so nothing happens, there was no one seeking, so no one finds, and it's always over and always, let's say, beginning, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's without all that, it's sitting here with a big old microphone and a baseball fucking cap and headphones and your friendly face. And that's fucking it, like, you know what I mean?
Right. so simple and ordinary.
Yeah.
Not special.
Not special. Saying it's not special is the mystery, the apparent saying of it.
So are you doing Zoom meetings on a regular or?
Well, what I'm doing is through Patreon. I have a small number of subscribers. So I do meetings at least once a month there. And then I do also free general meetings. And I put that out to my mailing list to say, look, there's a meeting. Normally, it seems like I do it short notice. I just go, now, apart from Patreon, I gave notice. But otherwise, it's like, there's a meeting in a few hours. Come if you want to come. Don't if you don't. Who cares? It's sort of like that. Like, and I don't seem to be totally comfortable with having something in the diary because something just may come up with the family and or with just life in general. And I sort of don't like having it in there. And I seem to be like that anyway, though. But anybody asks me to commit to anything, and I kind of go, now, like, it's sort of like these sorts of conversations. I don't, when I know there's questions, but it's sort of interesting to push this out. In actual fact, I don't really want to push out emails. I don't want to organize a meeting. I don't want to do any of that. But it's obvious when any sort of a question is asked or interest, it just, you know, comes flowing out of my mouth. But I don't want to do any of that. I really, and I've become to, I don't really want to put anything on YouTube. I don't really want to, but then I still do. Like, you hear? I mean, it's just so funny. But I think my preference would be, okay, Frank, come along here and I'll go there then. And I think that's, there's talk of myself and Kenneth doing something in Amsterdam, a one-day meeting together. I'd do the morning and he'd do the afternoon. It's not like we would share the seats together, or, you know, it would just be totally separate, one talk and another talk. It's just a way for us to kind of spend the weekend together. But I don't know either. The point I was trying to say was there's something about this that I really feel uncomfortable about the pushing out there. I just don't, because I have nothing to say. As soon as you put it out there, it gives that impression. But I do know some people really appreciate the meetings or really enjoy the meetings. So then I sort of like that, because I know, you know, there could be the bit of whatever. And like, that's a fuck story, but that's my inclination. I could be organized about other things, and this I'm not. And it's more like, but then when I see your notes come in, I go, no, I'd like to talk, immediately.
Yeah.
And so that's a long way of answering that question. I used to do a lot more, and I couldn't afford to continue to do it. I used to do a huge amount, and I just couldn't afford to do it.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the nature, you know. That may change again in the future when finance wise it's different and maybe I have more time. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Like, really.
Do you have any other film projects in the works, or?
Well, actually, I climbed Kilimanjaro there a few weeks ago.
Oh wow.
With a bunch of people, and I took a lot of footage and I recorded a lot of words, and so it's like a 4 hours of footage though.
That's wow.
That's a mountain of job, which, you know, to go through. It's totally,
yeah.
So can I cap that means spending time to that. And I don't know, I don't know what that'll be like. Obviously, she don't know, but I sort of wanted to do it, and but I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do with it, to be honest with you. You know, I started looking at the footage. And, oh, it's a mountain, like, that's time. And and it's part of it is work, you know, that editing, that part of going through the footage. But hopefully, so that's that. I was talking to Boris and Charles that potentially we would do something, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's funny, since you've watched 5MEO, I don't like anything that sort of dilutes. And I have to be careful what I'm... I don't like any impression giving that X leads to Y. That just seems to be how it is, and because it's not true, and I don't like that. And so we were talking, and I was kind of saying, well, I might do it, but I won't be dabbling. I won't be, you know, on camera. Oh God, you know what I mean, like on camera. Anyway, so we're talking about it, and then I went away to Kilimanjaro. We haven't talked about it since, and I've been very busy about work, but we may I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Boris is a beautiful filmmaker.
Yeah,
so you're obviously thinking about yours.
Yeah, I got some ideas floating around. Seems like creativity abounds these days, and it's just a matter of time, which, even though it doesn't exist, there's a scarcity of anyway.
Well, yeah, it seems like that. Like, yeah, it seems like it can, you know, it seems like there's only so many hours in the day, but it'll either happen or it won't. Sort of interesting to... have you done anything on it?
A little bit of scripting. I've done some scene with Tim Kliss, and he's in town this week. So he and I are going to maybe do some more shooting, just unscripted stuff, conversations, just see where that leads.
Yeah, I used to chat a lot to Tim. I haven't talked to him in a good while.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and Kenneth may come to Asheville sometime next year. Maybe you could tag along and do a little doubleheader with him while he's here.
Oh, yeah. So whereabouts is Asheville?
In North Carolina, mountains. Oh, okay. It's beautiful.
North Carolina. Okay, so, it's on the coast. Is that right? Well, part of it is on the coast.
North Carolina's got some beaches, but we're in the mountains, so we're further west. So,
lovely.
Yeah. I'll keep you in the loop.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. absolutely. Yeah. I'd say it'd be hard for us to coordinate together, myself and Kenneth, but I'd be interested in.
So far, we've had several retreats. Jim's been here, Tim's been here, Andreas has been here. Andreas had a great time, wants to come back sometime next year too, so.
Okay, lovely. That's pretty cool. So you're organizing those, obviously.
Yeah. It's been fun. It seems like when I got bit by this, I just started reaching out to people, asking for interviews, and then inviting them to come to town, and for surprisingly enough, they all said yes, so.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. It's funny, isn't it? Fuck's sake, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious, we could talk maybe about your movie if you'd like for a few minutes, or we can have another chat about it.
Maybe I'll stop the recording here. Before I do that though, your website is unknowing.life, right?
Unknowing.life, yeah.
Okay, and people can find out about the meetings and your writings and things like that there.
Yeah, you can sign up to a mailing list, and then obviously there's YouTube on, you know, under my name, or yeah, type in my name maybe, and you'll find, obviously there's a lot of videos there. Shit.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot, yeah. Bloody hell.
I've been enjoying them all.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for chatting, and
thank you, dude.
More.
Yeah, fair play. Thank you.